29 years ago, a 12-year-old boy had a dream that was cruelly shattered when he was unable to attend a pop concert by that phenomenon of the late 60s, the Monkees. Nearly three decades later, fate dealt him an opportunity, a 30-year reunion tour by the now middle-aged rockers riding a 50-city wave of baby boom nostalgia. Over the weekend, they performed in Fairfax, Virginia, and that young man, now grown into our commentator, Bob Garfield, was on hand.
Cashier, folks, credit cards in that line.
Even before the concert began, the power of the Monkees phenomenon came rushing back. I used to measure it by the deterioration of the LP vinyl from my old record player and its barbell tone arm, but now I could see it rung up in dollars and cents.
$65.
Last time they were on tour, I was 12 years old, and my parents didn't let me go.
They can't stop you now.
And I was in California at the time, too.
15's your change. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next.
Meet Valerie Kuhn, former teenager, who remembers watching every episode of the Monkees TV show.
Every day, and also with all the reruns, and I've got all the albums. Now I've got to switch to CD.
What's your favorite cut?
Dumb question.
Now, when they sang that, Lo, those many years ago, did you sometimes imagine that they were singing about you?
Yes, I felt like it was my song.
I can relate to that. The Monkees came along at a certain time in my life, a time called prepubescence, when I had certain 12-year-old preoccupations. Their names were Jane Conowich and Susan Gruenberg, two positively bewitching sixth graders with good running starts on womanly shapes and in the top reading group besides. Jane was my principal obsession, and Susan my fallback position. When it finally became clear that Jane would have nothing to do with me, on the flimsy grounds that I was a dork, all of my hopes rested on Susan. It happened that Susan wanted no part of me either, but she decided to cruelly string me along. You know those coquettish tricks, coming to school every day, using the first letter of my last name as the first letter of hers so that we were constantly paired together in lines to gym class, and even hinting at the possibility of romance. Week after week, I asked Philip to ask Jane to ask Ava to ask Susan if Susan would go steady with me, and week after week, Susan would lead me on by telling Ava to tell Jane to tell Philip to tell me no. Let's put it this way. If she wanted me to stop asking, she never asked Ava to ask Jane to ask Philip to mention it. The point being, in those torturous days of pre-adolescence, I too thought the Monkees spoke directly to me.
Tricks that you used on me. You're reading all them high-fashion magazines.
The contrived made-for-TV quality of the phenomenon offended me not at all. They were just trying to be friendly. All they did was sing and play. They were the young generation, and they had something to say. And yes, they were true to their word.
So you better get
It was true. It was true. They were coming to Philadelphia in the summer of 1967. I would actually get to see the Monkees, see them perform. This was better than Jane, better than Susan. This was Davey, Mike, Mickey, and Peter, my favest of fave raves. Then, tragedy struck. My parents sent me to camp in the Poconos straight through August. Camp? Could I come home one weekend to see the Monkees concert? No, don't be ridiculous. Of course not. And therefore, instead of seeing the rock and roll phenoms who uniquely understood the state of my 12-year-old mind, I was stuck sleeping with 15 other boys and listening to my counselor's radio playing Dean Martin 30 times a day all summer long. Well, time heals all wounds. This is 1996. Dean Martin is dead, and the Monkees are back on the road. There they were, three of the four TV originals. Davy Jones is still short, 2'6", 2'7", something in that range. And Peter Tork is still playing the guileless boob, and Mickey Dolan still has those strangely compressed facial features like Garrison Keillor with a ponytail. And the three of them have been playing to mainly packed houses since June. It's a very pleasant show. Mickey particularly is very good. The old favorites resonated, the old memories surged. And by the end of the concert, the audience had whipped itself up into a pretty good frenzy. A lumpy, white, middle-aged frenzy. Actually, it wasn't just the older folks. A lot of people brought their own kids, and they were into it, too.
We had a great time.
Yeah,
fabulous.
It was so great, just being on the floor especially.
What was the highlight?
Touching all the Monkees! Woo!
It's the most exciting moment of our lives.
Okay. I love the Monkees! Woo!
Everybody seemed to be having the time of their lives. Everybody but me. I remembered the songs. I remembered the musicians. I remembered the 60s. But I forgot something critical. I forgot to be 12. As the band had sung only an hour earlier, that was then, this is now. Here I was backstage with Peter Tork, having culminated a nearly lifelong dream face to face with a bona fide fave rave, and I couldn't make myself care. It was just one middle-aged guy with another. He was speaking with me, but he ceased to be speaking to me. I tried to be interested, but I couldn't pull it off, and neither could he.
Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird now?
It's worse than weird.
30 years later to be at this again?
What's the convention? Oh, why, no. It's wonderful. We are so glad that the fans still love us. We're very grateful that we still have the appeal.
How's the prostate?
It's beginning to act up just a little, okay?
I'm Bob Garfield.